So we've come to the time just about where we're going to share in the Lord's Supper, and we thought it would be good to just look at it a little closer, to understand it, to refresh our hearts and our minds, especially in light of what Blake talked to us about, that sometimes we just, oh yes, Lord's Supper, and we just do it out of habit, and really kind of just pass by a special moment without any of our affections or our hearts being affected. And so we're just going to look at the Lord's Supper and really try to understand it anew. And to understand the Lord's Supper, you have to understand the Passover. The Lord instituted the Lord's Supper at the Passover feast, the feast that was very prominent in every Jewish person's mind. And so they had celebrated this for over 1,500 years by the time Jesus is on the scene and he's instituting the Lord's Supper. But you have to understand originally what was going on at Passover. So I wanted us to go over that, refresh our hearts and our minds about God's story, how he's always been at work saving his people, how that culminates in Christ. So, we go back to the original Passover. The Israelites are slaves in Egypt. They've been slaves for 400 years. The Pharaoh there is very harsh with them. He's afraid that because they've multiplied so much, they're going to rise up and rebel. And so he makes their work very hard. It's very bitter for the Israelites, a very bitter time. And so they're slaves to Egypt. And then Moses comes. God raises up Moses, a leader for the people of Israel. And he makes some promises to the Israelites through Moses. And so in Exodus chapter 6, we see God's promise to deliver the Israelites. This is verses 6 and 7 of Exodus chapter 6. It says, "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." So God has, through Moses, announced this promise to the people that he's going to deliver them from the Egyptians. And we read about the plagues and how God brought those upon the Egyptians, and he's trying to motivate Pharaoh to release his people. But really, we know God has this master plan to get glory over the Egyptians and over Pharaoh. And so he's doing these plagues one at a time, and we come to the final plague. And we see that it's quite a plague. God says in Exodus chapter 11, verses 4 and 6, so Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been, nor ever will be again." So God has promised deliverance to the Israelites. He's promised judgment to the Egyptians. And in the midst of this, we find God's provision, the way that he's going to provide. Because in reality, the Israelites are sinful before the Lord and deserve this same punishment. And it's very clear in this event called the Passover that God has to make special provisions for the people of Israel to avoid this final plague. If they don't participate in the provision given by God, then there's no protection from this final plague. But we hear in chapter 12 of Exodus God's plan of provision, the Passover lamb. Verse 6 says, "You shall keep it," the Passover, "until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." So he gave them a specific date. He told them a specific time to sacrifice their lambs. He says, "Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall eat, and you shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you in the houses where you are. And I will see the blood, and I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. God's provision is so gracious, it's so loving, and it's really just astounding that a rebellious people, I mean, we know the people of Israel and what comes after this. They rebel and they rebel and they rebel. God is patient with them. They keep this statute of the Lord. They continue to eat the Passover meal, like I said, over 1,500 years, and until we arrive at this night where Jesus is instituting something new at this meal, the institution of the Lord's Supper. And there's massive parallels, and that's why God and Jesus, they chose the Passover to institute something that the church would do until he returns, because there's massive parallels. So the first parallel is that just like they were slaves to Egypt, all people are slaves to sin and Satan. In John 8:34, Jesus says that he who sins is a slave to sin. We're in slavery to sin. We're in bondage to sin. And Romans chapter 6, verse 16, we read, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" Obedience to God, Paul means there. So we see the Bible clearly teaches all people are slaves to something. We're slaves to sin if we sin. We're slaves to righteousness if we obey the Lord. And so there's this parallel in this Passover event. Slaves to Egypt that were delivered, slaves to sin that need deliverance. And we see all throughout the Bible God's promise of a deliverer, the one that I thought of that I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 9. It's a very famous one. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of increasing of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." There's this promises all throughout the Old Testament of a deliverer, one who will come and save his people, institute his kingdom, and rule in a righteous and just way. And so that parallels God's promise to deliver people through Moses and through the plagues and the miracles there. And we come to the plague itself. It was death to the Egyptians, their firstborns, and anyone who didn't obey the Passover feast. And for us, it's death for everyone. It's great. Everything on this scale is heightened and greater than what we see in the Exodus in the Old Testament. It's death to each person who has sinned against the Lord. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And then the promise, Paul follows up with that. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's this promise there of God's provision, even in the face of this plague that all of us face, which is death, punishment for the sin that we've committed against God. Now, finally, God's provision the final parallel, where God provided a Passover lamb, we see this direct correlation with Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God given as a sacrifice for his people. And we see that in multiple spots in the New Testament. Of course, in John's Gospel, John lifts his eyes up, sees Jesus coming, and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And we know that Jesus takes away the sin of anyone who repents and believes. He takes away the sin of the whole world. So Isaiah 53, Blake read most of that. There's one verse at the end that he left for me. I'm going to turn to Isaiah 53. It's just one of the most beautiful passages of the Old Testament, looking forward to this suffering servant who would come and lay his life down for his people. And that's where this chapter ends, contemplating the many, all who would come to him in faith and repentance. "Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." That's Jesus' role now, today. If you've trusted in him, he bore your sin on the cross, and he is making intercession for us before God this very moment. I mean, the Lord's Supper, it is a weighty thing for us to take part in. And so I think Blake's word was very timely, even for myself as I prepared for this. There's just that temptation to just go through the motions. But this is weighty, eternal stuff that we're dealing with when we come and we worship the Lord for what he's done. It's very weighty. So we come to the Lord's Supper, and we need an understanding of what it means, why Jesus chose the Passover. And we see all those parallels and how Jesus is the Passover lamb on our behalf. At that feast, he chose two things to institute: the bread and the cup, wine. And so we're going to, at this time, we're going to distribute the bread first and contemplate what the Lord has done for us through that. So Jesus is at the Passover meal, and he needs to choose a couple of things to be symbols. He chooses the bread. The bread, he says, is his body, which is broken for them. I'd like to read passage of scripture from 2 Peter. The bread is his body. Peter says he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. On that night, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." At the Passover meal, the Jews had developed a way of doing things over the centuries that weren't instituted in the Old Testament, in Exodus, but that they infused this meal with symbolism. And one is the four cups of wine that they would drink throughout the Passover meal. They corresponded to the passage I read in Exodus. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 has four verbs that are used there. "I will bring you. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will take you to be my people." These four verbs that the Jews had attached this symbolism to the four cups of wine, and with some degree of accuracy, we can say that it was the third cup that Jesus took after the meal, after they had eaten and broken bread, and He took this cup, this third cup. I will redeem you. He blessed it. And I want to read from Romans again, chapter 3, starting in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, a satisfying of God's wrath by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So as we take this cup, it symbolizes our faith in Jesus' sacrifice. He shed His blood. He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."